From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Pamela Wu, in for Beth Ruyak. The PolitiFact team is keeping its eyes and ears open for claims that merit more investigation. This week, PolitiFact's national editor checks statements by President Trump that the Mueller investigation and report amount to, in his words, a coup to overthrow the U.S. government. Spoiler alert, for this claim, President Trump earns another rating of pants on fire. Also, PolitiFact's California reporter introduces us to California Congressman Eric Swalwell, who just polled high enough to qualify for the Democratic presidential debate. Joining us today from Washington, D.C. is PolitiFact's national editor, Angie Holin. Hi, Angie. Welcome to Insight.
Thank you for having me.
And in the studio with me is PolitiFact California's Chris Nichols. Good morning, Chris.
Hi, Pamela. Great to be here.
Angie, let's begin with you and President Trump. On several occasions now, he has made untrue claims about Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation and report on Russian interference in the 2016 election. This is President Trump's claim that was rated by PolitiFact. This is President Trump speaking with Sean Hannity on the Fox News Channel last week.
So I really say now we have to get down, because this was a coup. This was an attempted overthrow of the United States government. We had people coming out to vote from all over this country that are in love with what we're doing. It's called Make America Great Again. That's what we've done and we're doing. And this was an overthrow, and it's a disgraceful thing. And I think it's far bigger than Watergate.
This is something we've heard President Trump talk about or tweet about several times. He's making this argument that the Mueller investigation was somehow extra legal. We've rated it pants on fire after doing a lot of research on coups and talking to political experts who just say that the bottom line is that the Mueller investigation has been conducted within U.S. laws and policies and procedures of the Justice Department, and there's really zero evidence that there is anything extra legal about this going on.
President Trump has used this term several times. Did you go back and track down when he started saying coup?
We found it recently in his Twitter feed, where he was retweeting other commentators who were saying it, some of them from Fox News. Then he goes on to Fox News and says it, and then Fox News picks it up. So there's this sort of a feedback loop between President Donald Trump and Fox News, which seems to be his favorite news network.
I think in order to rate this claim, you had to define the key term coup. How did you evaluate what constitutes one?
We talked to experts in political history who evaluate coups, and the defining characteristic of a coup is that it's an extra legal removal from power. So it's removing a country's leader outside of any sort of election or constitution or traditional legal venue. And what has happened with the Mueller report, we've just found no evidence that there is anything outside the bounds of law. The FBI started an investigation based on suspicions they had about a Trump campaign advisor, George Papadopoulos, who had met with Russians and had spoken with officials from Australia about his meetings. So that is how the investigation started before Trump was elected. After he took office, people will remember Jeff Sessions recused himself. Robert Mueller was appointed, but it was all very much within the bounds of law.
You mentioned speaking to experts on this topic, and the people who study these kinds of things say that there are 12 different kinds of coups. What are the typical examples?
Well, the typical examples are, say, a military taking action to remove a leader. They have also divided up into categories such as rebel coups, popular revolts, dissident actions, palace coups, and the list goes on. There are also attempted coups and coup conspiracies. But every expert we spoke to said that the idea that this is happening in the United States is just not backed up by the facts. And any sort of cool, level-headed appraisal shows that Trump is exaggerating. The Mueller investigation has been following the laws laid out, and that the coup is a ridiculous term to apply to the situation. And that's why he got pants on fire.
Can you help explain to our listeners just what brings an untrue claim into pants on fire territory?
We have ratings and definitions for each rating. We do rate things false if they're just not accurate. Pants on fire means the statement is not accurate and makes a ridiculous claim. And we actually had a long discussion about this particular fact check. And at the end of the day, Trump still holds the presidency. There's no evidence that there's a conspiracy to remove him. Things are happening within the bounds of law. And we just felt like the claim was ridiculous. But he seemed to make it in all seriousness. He went on Fox News, spoke with Sean Hannity. They seemed to share the sentiment. It's not funny to them. They seem to be quite serious. And we wanted to give it a rating to show that this is extreme falsity.
That's Angie Holin from the PolitiFact team in Washington, D.C. You can follow their fact checks at politifact.com. Angie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Let's turn now to our own PolitiFact California reporter, Chris Nichols. Chris, one critic of President Trump who's been on cable TV talking about the Mueller investigation is California Congressman and presidential hopeful Eric Swalwell, and you've written a profile about him.
That's right. We decided to research his background and learn more about him since he is running for president. And yesterday he qualified for the Democratic presidential primary debate, so we'll see him on TV some more. This, in this case, debating his fellow Democrats as they seek to be the candidate to run for the White House. And so we decided if we're going to jump into fact-checking him, we might as well learn a little bit about him. He has an interesting biography. He's 38. He's married with two young children. He's a millennial, so he's roughly half the age of at least a couple of the candidates, Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders, running for president. And he grew up, at least in his early years, in Iowa. His father was a police chief there in a small town. And eventually the family moved to Dublin, California, where he spent the rest of his childhood. Professionally, he started his career as an Alameda County prosecutor, which interestingly is the same job that now Senator Kamala Harris started her career mm-hmm. as an Alameda County prosecutor. We're also fact-checking her, of course, as she runs for president. And then as far as his entry into politics, he served on several local government commissions in Dublin and then spent a term as a Dublin City Council member. So that's where he got his start. And then in 2012, he made a bigger splash where he surprised many, and he beat out a 40-year Democratic incumbent, former Congressman Pete Stark, to win his seat in Congress. And interestingly enough, Stark had represented that district even before Swalwell was born. So it was
40 years.
A long, long time, and a major change there in the East Bay Congressional District. And now running for president, one of his biggest issues is gun control. He's talked a lot about that. He says he's not afraid to take on gun rights groups like the NRA. He spoke on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, talked about this issue as he made his announcement to run for president.
I talk to kids who sit in their classroom afraid that they'll be the next victim of gun violence. And they see Washington doing nothing about it after the moments of silence. And they see lawmakers who love their guns more than they love our kids. And none of that is going to change until we get a leader who is willing to go big on the issues we take on, be bold in the solutions we offer, and do good in the way that we govern. I'm ready to solve these problems. I'm running for president of the United States.
And so on gun control, I think we're going to hear him speak quite a bit about this, and I think our fact checks will probably focus on those topics. But just to flesh out a little bit of his specific proposals, he has called for a mandatory national ban and buyback of what he calls military-style semi-automatic assault weapons. He's also supported universal background checks for all gun and ammunition purchases. He's also said that more must be done to take away guns from domestic abusers and to require states to adopt restraining order laws. So I have a sense that we'll see him talk in the debates about this issue. It'll raise the issue nationally even more than it is now. And both he and Senator Kamala Harris will be a real focus of our efforts going forward.
Gun control is one of the key issues, very important to Democratic voters. Where does he stand on other issues such as health care and climate change?
On health care, he's a supporter of Medicare for All, and that's the proposal to create a government-run health care system that provides access to all Americans and does away with private insurance as it currently exists. On climate change, Swalwell has said that he is against the proposed federal rollbacks on energy efficiency and renewable energy. He has said that climate change is, quote, an urgent crisis threatening our environment, our public health and safety, and future economic well-being. And then finally, on immigration, another huge topic pretty much all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say just this campaign. But he has said that he supports legislation in the U.S. Senate pushing for comprehensive immigration reform. He said he opposes the president's border wall and said that the American people just are not going to go for that.
There are 21 people in the race for the Democratic nomination. What does Swalwell need to do to stand out?
Well, in order to just get to these debates and on TV, which I would say is probably one way to stand out, he has to at least get 1% support rating in the polls, in three polls that the Democratic National Committee says are necessary to get onto these debates. I think that, you know, he has made the calculation that finding a single issue like gun control will raise his profile. So we'll see how that works out. And then he's also been a very strong critic of the president when it comes to the Russia investigation. He has said that President Trump has acted sort of along the lines and the interests of Russia throughout his presidency and during the campaign. After the Mueller report, the redacted Mueller report came out, he has continued to say that he feels, the president acted in Russia's interests. And so I would imagine he will continue to do that. And I think voters will decide whether those are issues that they care about and are important enough to elevate him and move him forward in the process.
And he did just clear that bar, getting over 1% in three different polls. So he does get to appear in the Democratic primary debates. The first of the debates will be split over two nights, June 26th and 27th. You've written this profile for readers who want to learn more. Where can they find your story?
That's right. We'll publish that later today at politifact.com/California, which is where we've also published a number of fact checks and in-depth articles on Senator Harris and her plans as she runs for president, including her middle-class tax cut proposal and other proposals that she is putting forward as she runs for the White House.
That is PolitiFact California reporter Chris Nichols. Chris, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Pamela.
As you heard Chris say, you can find his upcoming story at politifact.com/California, and we'll have more on our website at capradio.org/insight. You are listening to Insight on your NPR station, Capital Public Radio.